Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Welcome to Education America, where we are working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. Join the conversation. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. And as the 16th President Abraham Lincoln succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. Well, tonight we are going to continue our conversation with Gina Hinderer. Gina is a loving mother of four who married her high school sweetheart, which I always think is so sweet when I hear about that. I have one son who married his high school sweetheart. That's pretty sweet. She earned her bachelor's degree in education from the University of Minnesota and was a public school teacher working in first and second grade and as the literacy coordinator for 23 years. Gina loved teaching and was nominated for Teacher of the Year, but recently left after becoming increasingly frustrated by the politics and bureaucracy of public education. She is a dedicated mother of four hockey players and board member of two youth hockey associations and a current member of the state high school, or not state high school, state hockey board. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Yep, no
a little problem. Bit different. That must be more of a club sport versus the state high school league, right?
Yeah, it's youth hockey.
Youth hockey. Okay. And then she is also politically active in the community and formed the White Bear Lake United in 2020. Gina has kept a very close eye on what is happening in our very own community and is here to bring awareness to the hot topics at hand as we head into a new school year and our school board elections. So last week, we talked about some recent changes happening in our children's curriculums and, of course, in our schools in general, and we had a great conversation. And tonight, we're going to continue the discussion, but this time we're going to dive into what we can do to advocate for all children in our community. So we're trying to sort of turn the tables here, going from, excuse me, last week's having conversation about what are some of the problems that we're seeing, and they're pretty serious issues. But then today, taking on more of an approach of what can we do to advocate for our kids? So I know you have some great ideas because you've been doing this now for 2 years. You started your group...
White Bear Ignite.
Yeah. So tell us some steps that parents can take to advocate mm-hmm. for their children and other children as well.
Well, I think, too, as a parent of four and then as a teacher,
yeah,
all of these work, what I'm about to share here. So first of all, just simply meet the teacher. You know, go.
Yeah, so important.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun to go see the classroom. It's good to meet the teacher and to develop a relationship right out of the get-go.
Uh-huh.
My husband always says, we have a son named Thomas, and he'll say, you know, we're part of Team Tommy here. And
yeah.
there should be a team mentality because yeah. think of how much time is spent in that classroom
yes.
with that teacher.
Yes.
You know,
they have a lot of influence.
Yeah, they sure do.
They sure do.
Mm-hmm. And then... when you're meeting with the teacher, share your expectations. Ask questions. Don't be scared to ask questions.
Uh-huh.
Ask about transparency, especially nowadays. I think
yeah.
that's important. I mean, you have to know what's going on
yeah.
in the classroom.
Yep.
There's some resources, too, that are out there that are fabulous, like the American Center for American Experiment. They have They had an article on the best questions to ask your teachers, and then they actually had a part two because these are great questions to ask.
Uh-huh.
And so I would suggest going there to look for things. Mm-hmm. But even, you know, volunteering in your classroom, although I think those policies have changed. What do you do at your school for volunteers?
You know, we love having volunteers in our school. We are very open to that. And many times in the lower school, you'll see them in not only helping with maybe the speech meet or some of the logistics, but then sometimes they're helping with reading groups, helping with class parties, helping with field trips. So we're a school that's big on service and volunteerism. We love having the parents involved. Yeah.
And there are ways that you can involve too that are really special. Like you could go to the Institute of Art. They have programs there where you can bring artwork into a classroom. You know, and if that's something that's been cut or the teacher, there's great things that you can do out there
right.
to volunteer.
Yeah. Yep.
And then here's a point that I wanted to bring up too and talk a little bit about. If you are concerned, you ask questions and maybe you don't get answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a group called White Bear Lake United, as you mentioned.
Yep.
And one thing that we ended up doing is we ended up filing a data request. There were some concerns. That's yep. one reason our group formed, is because there were a group of parents that were really concerned about things that we saw happening in the
yes.
school. And it was White Bear Lake United is really a place where we're on Facebook, and then we have an email chain going, but it's a place mm-hmm. where we talk, and actually what it's evolved into is friendship. I mean, we yeah. adopted a park, we go do things out in the community, but what ended up happening That's is nice. I filed a data request, and I worked with an attorney named uh-huh. James Dickey from the Upper Midwest Law Firm. We filed a data request on July 31st, 2012, and we asked...
12? 2012?
I'm sorry, 21.
I was going to say, that doesn't seem right to me.
No, sorry, 21.
Okay.
And we asked for certain curriculum for them to expose it to us.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was that it took them about 6 months. On January 26th, they finally said, okay, we've gathered this information. You can come look at this. And so
you have to go look at it? You can't just have it?
Oh, no. Yeah, we had to look at it. And actually,
but I mean, you have to go in?
We went into a room that was loaded with thousands of pieces of
data.
Information. Yep.
Wow.
And it ended up, when I went in there the first day with James Dickey, the attorney, I was like, I cannot do this by myself. So I
right.
ended up getting a group of six wonderful ladies.
Uh-huh.
We spent about 8 sessions once a week for uh-huh. anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. And we just went through the curriculum.
Page by page.
Yeah. And what we ended up having to do is take screenshots of it.
Sure.
And then we dumped it into a file. And,
okay.
you know, it could be James is reviewing some of it to see what the content looks like. And just,
this is really interesting. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful that we do have that that opportunity here in this country, that we can have these FOIA requests. And so what I am wondering is then, did you request specifically curriculum itself? Or what was your specific request?
So our specific request had 29 different buzzwords, so to speak.
Ah.
And there was so much content at one point that they called and said, this is overwhelming. There's so much. Because we were looking, they went into their database. We have emails from teachers. We have curriculum.
Okay.
We have teacher workshop information.
Okay. So all of that information that the whole district has
yes.
In hand,
yes,
not in hand, but in, you know,
in their system,
in their data systems.
Mm-hmm.
You then gave 29 keywords for searches.
Then we had to reduce it to 13 because there was so much material. And what ended up happening is so many school districts, there are so many different people doing these data requests
uh-huh.
that Upper Midwest Law Firm was overwhelmed. James at one point said he had 26 different requests sitting on his desk.
Wow.
So they actually just hired a new attorney. And what will happen is, they've actually done one lawsuit, and so
okay.
What
district do you know?
Lakeville. Lakeville is part of a group.
Okay.
A class
yep.
action one.
Yep.
So
okay.
and that was
okay.
probably at the beginning of last summer.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
so
hear about
so
that.
We did do that, and there is some material there that was very concerning.
Okay.
So,
and mostly curriculum or training, teacher training?
Actually,
both.
Teacher training.
Teacher
There's
training.
A lot of teacher training. Like I even brought to show you today, that I have a list of the books that were purchased that are now in the library.
Oh,
you know,
my
they're
goodness.
Of concern.
Yeah, yeah. You know, do you have that, like,
I do,
right at the top of your fingers there?
No, it's in my file right back here.
Go ahead and grab it. Go ahead and grab it if you can find it. Yeah. Okay. No, that's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But so what you're saying is there's like 15 different library books that were added that you found out through this information request.
Yeah, we had the invoice. And,
yes.
Because okay. It had some of those trigger words on the invoice. Yeah. So,
okay. And those were used for teacher training. Correct. And they were also added to the library.
Correct.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, once you've done information requests like that, so you took all this information, you took screenshots, you and six other people.
Yes.
And you've put it in a file, and then you can distribute that to people, can't you? Because it was an information request. Can you, like, were you sharing that with other parents so that they can see what's happening?
I haven't yet because I want Upper Midwest Law Firm to look through it and see what they're going to do. And they're doing the same thing with other districts.
I see.
Right now.
Okay.
So right now the ball is in their court, so to speak, and I'm just waiting for some direction to find out what will happen.
Got it.
With that.
And how many other requests did you say are out there
He said he had 26 different requests waiting, so they ended up hiring someone to help him do that because, he was doing that pro bono, but he has to work.
Yeah. So they put food on the table for his family or at least for himself if he's single. Yeah.
Right. So we have that in the works. Yeah, that's happening right now. But
wow, that's really interesting, and I'm really glad that you brought that up. I've heard of people doing this, but I've never known what the process is. So sounds like you have to hire an attorney to be able to do it, or at least do it well.
He provided the letter, the professional letter, and he did. Yeah. He was great with giving us guidance for what to look for.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and I do want to say too that the district, besides them taking that long to get, and actually I found out that they hired two people to go through the data at taxpayers' expense, which kind of drove me crazy because I would have done it for free.
Right. Why were they doing that? Because were they trying to eliminate some things before the information request, or help provide to fulfill the information request?
I think they just didn't want to pull a staff member to go through to do this, and they had this from an attorney, so they needed to do it.
They had to do it. Got
Correct.
It.
Yep. So, yep. But they were really good. They were really good with providing a room, and
They were respectful.
Yes. Okay. Very much
that
so.
That is really good. So the Upper Midwest Law Center was the group that helped you do that. I know they're a nonprofit legal firm, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So once you are meeting the teacher and you're asking some questions, you might want to decide that it's severe enough that you want to do some type of a filing of a data request. But then you've talked a lot with me off air about asking questions of the teacher, asking divergent questions of your children after school. And you talk about the rosebud analogy. Tell us a little bit about what you mean by that. And by the way, I guess I should remind our listeners, time goes so fast, that we are talking with Gina Hinderer, and this is Education America, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and we are discussing how to advocate for your children in public schools today and how to get to know the teachers better, how to find out exactly what is happening in your child's classrooms, and then what to do about it. So tell us a little bit about some of the questions that you can ask your children to find out really what's happening in their child's classrooms. Because parents, by the way, don't forget, you are ultimately responsible for the education of your children. You are partnering with schools, but ultimately it is your responsibility to know what they are being taught. So go ahead and share with us how you would recommend parents talk to their children after school to ask them questions.
So you get in the car with your kids, or they get home from school, and you just say, "How was your day?" And they say, "Good." Okay, what made it good? I don't know. You know, how many times have you heard that?
Yep.
So I always, when people would come into my classroom for conferences, parents, I had a flower sitting there and just say, here, you know, it's better to ask your kids divergent questions. Well, divergent questions are open-ended. That means they require more than just a yes or a no answer. Uh-huh. And so if you think about a rose, so the flower, something good, something successful, something positive. You know, what was something that made you feel happy or proud? What was a highlight of your day? Uh-huh. The thorn, you know, what was a challenge? What did you need help with? What was something that made you feel bad? Or the bud, like, you know, the roots in the ground. Uh-huh. What is this, like the seeds growing? What did you learn? What made you feel curious, or what do you want to know? And I use that as an example because it's a great way to question your kids, to teach them how to reflect, to identify their feelings, to learn to summarize. You can even expand their vocabulary, and just with a simple question, but it makes them think a little bit.
Those are great questions to ask. I wish
just,
I would have
that's just a fun way
heard
to,
you talking way back when my kids were young.
Or even as simple as, tell me two good things about your day. That way they're forced to answer rather than just say yes or no.
But through those questions, though, out comes sometimes some of these concerns that you might have as a parent in a classroom. And so then you can make note of those things as well. And, you know, especially with younger kids who might not be so aware of what's going on because things are a little bit more subtle with the younger kids and they don't know necessarily right from wrong or what's truth from falsehood. And
it gives you the opportunity to fill in any gaps or to share your family values or question the teacher or even at our house, we've had to teach the other side of the story. You know, that's that perspective. But you know what? Think about this.
Yes.
So it's so important just to talk.
Yeah.
Communication is the key, whether it's with your teacher or the or your child.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
You know, that's such a good point. And that kind of brings us back to the importance of having family dinners, spending some time around the meal, the meal table together, being able to give that voice to your children, to be able to listen to them. You know, we're all so busy today. We run, 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 and our kids are so active and involved in things. But it's really important to pause and hear from your kids so that you really are connected to their day and what are they learning. I think that's
magnificent. And just be present.
Yeah. And just
even
be present.
For 5 minutes. Yeah. Just to give them that.
Yep. Yep. Such a good point. So those are some great questions. You talked about, also volunteering in the schools or connecting to resources in their communities. What are some resources that you would suggest for people?
So I think with just in the last couple of years, a lot has popped up for parents. White Bear Lake United is one group. There's Roseville United, Centennial United. There are so many different groups that are out
there. Aren't there like 75 United groups around the state now?
Yes, there really are.
Yeah.
And then there's a great group, too, called Minnesota Parent Alliance. And I know Christine was on your show.
Yeah.
That is an organization that's trying to put all of this together as one central place, and it's been great. They're going to do a big event on October 15th coming up, and I can talk about more that more at the end too, but that's a great resource. And with that resource, if you go to their website, which is I believe it's minnesotaparents.com, they have all sorts of different resources as far as parent groups, or they have like letters to send your teacher at the beginning of the year, or opt-out letters. If you don't want something,
that's great.
If you don't want your child involved in a health unit or whatever the case may be, they have opt-out letters there. It's a really good resource.
Or from there's a lot of surveys that parents should be aware of that they may want to opt their children out of as well.
Right.
So that's mnparents.com, right?
I believe it is. Isn't it Minnesota?
I don't remember their website, but just Minnesota Parents Alliance, and I'm sure people can Google it and find their website. Did you say that they're having some type of an event at the end of October?
They are. They're October 15th. They're having an event. They're having guest speakers there, two national figures, and I think you can find out more information on their website, but it might be something worth going to. They're also, if anyone's interested in running for a school board position, they're doing training for school board members.
Okay.
So it's a great organization.
Okay. Once again, Minnesota Parents Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also had some readings that you thought you could suggest for people. I don't know if you've got those right at the top of your fingertips there, or if that's something
that
you can put on our website.
Yep,
okay,
that's what I can
okay.
do.
But I do think that that's another important element of making sure that you're involved in your children's education and knowing what's happening. There's readings that you can, and maybe the one that has all the questions that you mentioned earlier from the Center of the American Experiment. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could send that our way, and we can put that up for people to take a look at as well.
Yes.
And then you've talked about saying, don't be afraid to ask questions. If you see or hear something that doesn't feel right, say something. So it's kind of like, you know, after 9/11, you know, if you see something, say something. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what would you say might be some things that you might hear or maybe it's from another parent. You know, do you have some thoughts on what you might hear and then kind of how to go about asking more questions?
Yes, I do have an example. On two nights ago, I was at an event similar. I was at a parent event, and one of the moms got up there to speak, and she told a story. It was everyone in the room was just shocked, but she moved to Minneapolis. She has, this just happened to her last year. Her name is Jill, and I did get permission in case I would bring up the story, but she has a daughter, an adopted daughter. She's white. Her daughter's black, and her daughter was having a hard time when she came home from school for a couple of days in a row, very upset, and she couldn't figure out why. So she was talking to her.
How old is her daughter, by the way?
I think it was third grade. Pretty sure it was third grade. Okay. Well, what happened was the teacher was reading a book, and the book was one of the ones that are controversial about, and the book said that, you know, police officers don't like black people. And this little girl, it's an icky thing to talk about. And so when Jill got this out of her daughter, she, you know, and the little girl was scared to go to school. And so of course, right away in the morning, she called the teacher. And the teacher did not use that book anymore. But you have to talk to your kids, because imagine if she just sat and held that in.
Right, right.
And was scared.
Right. She was afraid. She was and the disconnect, you know, in this case, because the mom is white and the daughter is black, I'm sure the little girl thought, well, I know my mother loves me.
Right.
You know, right. And so this is very confusing to her. Mm-hmm. Talk about sending really mixed signals.
Right.
That white people are bad or they're racist or white police are racist or whatever, mm-hmm. To such young children. So that is, okay, so that's a great example. Mm-hmm. So she talked to her daughter, and she did call the school.
Yes, and the teacher, she said the teacher did not finish with that book. She said the teacher would read it and then put it down and they would talk. And then, she, you know, the teacher realized, I mean, the teachers, they're people too. And sometimes they're just following the rules and then
they, you know, hear something like this. But right. Don't you wish, I wish that more of them could push back.
Right, right.
Yes. I am fighting a little bit of a cold here tonight, so sorry about that to our listeners. can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, where you think schools need to go in our last, you know, 5 minutes or so?
Well, that's a great question, Rebecca, yeah. and where they need to go. What I do know is that we need to figure out a way to meet the needs of all of our kids and not at the expense of some. You know, we need to get back to the basics. We need to work together. And if we don't, there's going to be a generation of students who are truly lost. And it's up to the adults. We're the adults. We need to do something. Mm-hmm. I think that our kids, they can't be little political pawns there.
Right.
You know, it's we have a lot of work to do.
Right. Well, you know, education. One of the things that I saw that you talked about, what you have seen in some of the schools is, you know, here there's George Floyd moments of silence, but yet no remembrance of 9/11.
Right.
So think of that.
Right.
Think of the message that sends kids and the young children growing up who don't remember 9/11. Mm-hmm. Then they're getting a skewed view of history.
Right.
They're being taught that this person was wrongly killed, which obviously he was, George Floyd, but so were the 3,000 people in the towers on 9/11.
Right.
And yet the kids aren't learning about that. Mm-hmm. They're not getting a remembrance about that.
Well, and it's such a teachable moment. There are so many things that you could do with that. Kids could interview somebody. I mean, I can tell you where I was when that happened.
I can tell you
the exact spot.
Yes.
You know, for a child to interview somebody or do a little research, the 9/11 Museum has a 32-minute video.
Yeah.
And that high school kids, even if a teacher just put the video in and let them watch and think, you could learn, there's history, there's geography, there's learn about the military. There's so many opportunities with 9/11 to teach about, yet I asked my son, he's a junior, and Tommy, did they do anything? He said, somebody mentioned it in second hour, Mom. That was it. You know, and that broke my heart because how is that fair and equitable? If we can do moments of silence in one respect, Why aren't we doing it there
right. as well? Absolutely. Right. The dichotomy of that is just really, really sad. And the fact that then we have BLM and LGBTQ posters still up in shared spaces. And I know that you said last year in White Bear, I thought that some of those had been outlawed.
Yeah, what happened
not
was...
outlawed, but they'd made that... What's the word? I guess I'm looking
for... They just changed the policy.
Yes.
And so what happened is last year there was some, okay, if we have these, that's fine, but then let's have back the blue. There are kids, other families that support other things
right.
just as much,
right.
and let's just be fair and equitable
yes.
across
let
the board.
Them all be up.
Right, and so then they decided, let's do none. So,
yeah, and you said Pledge of Allegiance not allowed? You're not seeing that?
I'm not sure. In some schools, but I feel like it's back.
Okay.
I know you do that.
Starting
yours.
To come back. Okay.
Well, so.
We do, but
yes.
we're private.
Right.
We just hired a couple people from the public schools this year. And I was just shared a story because was it just Flag Day or Veterans Day recently? I was actually out of the country, but so we have Red, White, and Blue Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids get to dress in red, white, and blue. And one of these staff members that we had hired from a public school setting said, "Oh my gosh, we never could have done this.
Oh,
never
oh,
could we have
yes.
done this in our school that we were at." And I thought, for heaven's sakes, we live in this country called, United States of America. The fact that it would not be okay to wear red, white, and blue to school
mm-hmm.
is phenomenal. I mean, it's just, I cannot even, that's even beyond what I would have expected.
So
I was stunned.
Here's a story that I think is interesting. When in our last segment, we talked about how it used to be and how it's just changed
yeah.
now. When I used to teach the whole month of December at our school, we did what was called the Festival of Lights. And we would learn, because if you think about it, so many different religions and holidays have candles and lights.
Right.
We learned about Posada, Diwali, Eid, Hanukkah, Christmas. You could do so many different things and teach about the whole world.
Right.
And it was fabulous.
Yeah.
And now we don't do those things.
Right. It's like
in an effort to try to have equality,
right.
we don't.
Right. So not only that, but we just basically render every tradition neutral. It just becomes nothing.
Right.
And it's traditions that hold a society together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really sad. Well, I know that you wanted to put in a last
yes.
plug for voting and for teachers. So you've got,
correct.
About
a minute.
30 seconds. Yeah, a little bit more.
So if people don't know, because voting is going to be coming up, different school boards have an election this year, some don't, but you can find out everything you need to know from your Secretary of State website under the Elections and Voting tab. And
okay, then, so Secretary of State website under
correct.
Elections and Voting tab.
Yeah, you can
okay.
just plug in your address. But then as we wrapped up, I wanted to share something that really gets lost in the shuffle and
uh-huh.
rarely mentioned, and that's the human side to all of this. We really are, we're all people. For the
yeah.
most part, we're all good people. I think teachers are a special breed.
Mm-hmm.
No one,
absolutely.
Not just anyone can do it.
Right.
They're hardworking. They're dedicated.
100%.
They're amazing. They lose sleep, worrying about how to
yeah.
meet the needs of our kids.
Right.
We need to embrace them and embrace the good ones.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Oh, what a great way to end.
Yeah.
Encouraging to all of our teachers out there. We know that you're working hard. We know you love your students and you're doing the very
we
best that you can
you.
For them. We appreciate you. And we hope that you will be able to thrive and be able to reflect the values that you have in your classrooms and speak up when they're being stifled
mm-hmm.
Or find a different place to work if you need to. So thank you so much, Gina, for these last 2 weeks. We have enjoyed having you on our
thank
show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate
yes.
it.
And good luck to all of your work in White Bear United
thank
and
you.
With all of your kids. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next week on Education America at AM 1280 The Patriot. Have a good night.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.